His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? Well, happy holiday, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you, and a good morning. If you're visiting with us, we're very thankful that you're here today. My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. Take your Bibles, if you would, if you have one, and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you have a device, get that thing fired up, or if you just want to use the handout in the bulletin or the scripture up on the screen. Today we're going to start just kind of a little mini-series on the body of Christ, and more specifically, the gifts inside the body of Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we finished Acts chapter 12 in our series on Acts, and in Acts chapter 13 is the final kind of long chapter in the book of Acts, and it'll deal with the Apostle Paul, so we're taking a little period of time as we start up the ministries at Lakeside and just looking at the body of Christ and our individual gifts and responsibility and place in the body of Christ. So if you're visiting with us, I'm thankful that you're here. I pray that you would draw something from the scriptures that will challenge your heart, encourage you this morning. I'm really excited as I think about Lakeside Fellowship and what God has done. I think I'm a realist. I don't have just rosy-colored glasses on. I know that there are issues in lives and decisions to be made and burdens that are heavy, but I also realize that God has done and is doing a very special work amongst you in the Lakeside family. I think we stand poised on the brink of incredible opportunities for God, for Christ. We're a church that's full of children, and that's a good thing, amen? We're full of children. The Kids for Truth ministry will start up here in just a little bit, and it'll have just under 100 kids coming on a Sunday night studying the Word of God. And then the nursery will be full, and we have a whole bunch of young adults that'll be meeting. Our youth group will more than likely be 50, maybe 60 kids, junior high and senior high. We're starting a young adults group this fall back up. We have our growth groups that are starting up. It'll be maybe 180-some adults meeting weekly to gather around fellowship and the study of the Word of God and prayer. Our building's going up. And have you been out there at all, or have you seen? I'll show you some pictures maybe next week, but the concrete walls are up. The concrete floor has been poured, and on Tuesday, I'm told, Lord willing, they'll bring a big crane in, and the steel will start going up on our building. That's pretty exciting stuff. Scary, but exciting. Not the least of which, but they come at the end of this list, is our older adults who call Lakeside home. I can't think of an age group in our church that's been more encouraging to me in the ministry at Lakeside Fellowship than our older adults at Lakeside Fellowship. They love the Lord, and I'm very thankful for that. So our building's being built. Our young people are growing in the Lord. Moms are having more babies, and that's happening on a regular basis. And so I think we stand on the brink of incredible opportunities. I was thinking last night, all the conditions are right. The light is green. There's really nothing holding us back. It's time really to make a significant impact for the cause of Christ in our community. Amen? It's time. Fully believing that. The need of the hour, with every opportunity that we have right before us, is that the full potential of every person who calls Lakeside Fellowship home, is that the full potential of every one of us is released to function in the body of Christ for the cause of Christ. For you to know what it is that God has you on earth for and how you are to serve in the body of Christ. It's no time, I'm telling you from the pastor's perspective, from where I sit, for us to hold back at all. So it's fitting and timely, I think, that we study what is the body of Christ and how do individual believers, how do they function? What is their purpose and importance inside within that body? Now, Scripture, when you read it, and hopefully you are, I'm reading through, I don't always do this, the entire Bible this year, and so I read some Old Testament and Psalms and Proverbs, and then I read some New Testament. And so as I'm reading along in the Bible, I'm noticing in my Bible reading that really God has numerous pictures that He's placed there for us to think about who we are in this world at this very moment in our life. We studied not too long ago Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and there Jesus said we're to be salt and light in the world. Salt and light. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, and we're called to be ambassadors in the world for the cause of Christ. So the picture of being an ambassador. We studied not too long ago 1 Peter, and Peter says that we're pilgrims in the world. But the most fascinating to me and incredible to me and overwhelming to me is that we are called to be Christ in the world. When He ascended to heaven, He gave gifts of men and gifts to men and women. And He called us some dozen to 15 times in Scripture His body. We're called the body of Christ. So visually wrap your mind around the fact that Christ ascended to earth, but He left His body. We're His body. What the world knows about Christ, they get from us. We're called the body of Christ. He's alive in the world today. Now, we say, as we're leading up to Romans chapter 12, well, how is Christ alive in the world today? And just theologically, I'm just going to share this. We won't spend really any time on it. When somebody comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior, Romans 8 and verse 9 says that the Spirit of Christ indwells that person. So if you know Christ as Lord and Savior today, even though He's ascended into heaven, His Spirit resides within you. And then it says, not only does Christ reside in the individual believer, but He actually resides in the greater body of Christ, in the local fellowships. Ephesians 2 and verse 22 says, in Him you also are being built up together into a dwelling place for God by His Spirit. So we individually and we collectively are the living, walking, breathing, talking, serving, literal body of Christ. We're Christ's body in the world. Now think about that. Think about where you walked and what you said and what you did and how you spent your time. That's why I said it's really the most incredible picture for us to be called the actual body of Christ. And thus we are. So in this short series, probably 8 weeks, today will just be introduction. I have three purposes in mind for myself, my family, for the church family at large. I want us to know what actually are spiritual gifts. If we're the body of Christ and He gives gifts of men, pastors and such, teachers to the church, then He gives gifts to men and women. What are actually the gifts? What are they? Number two, I want every person in here to be able to discover what is the spiritual makeup of you individually. What are your gifts? What is the package that God over the years has created within you so that you can be your part in the body of Christ? And then lastly, I want every one of us, we have so much ministry ahead of us. I want every one of us to be used by God according to our giftedness in the body of Christ for the cause of Christ. So let's read Romans 12, verses 1 through 8 together. Now, there are four main passages, and over the 8 weeks, we'll touch on all four. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter 4. So we're just going to use Romans 12 as kind of our launching pad here this morning. It's an incredible portion of Scripture. I'm going to read the first 8 verses. Follow with me as I do. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. It's your spiritual worship. It's the least you could do. Verse 2, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, Paul said, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, let me just stop right there for a second. So he's saying, I want you to take some time in your life and get very serious about what is God's purpose for you and for me individually, and how do I fit into the grand scheme of what God's wanting to do? He said, I want you to take some time, I want you to sober up, and I want you to think through, what is it that God has done in my life that God wants me to use in the greater body of Christ? Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, and we'll look at this in one of the weeks, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, do it with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So this morning, just by way of introduction, we're going to ask and we're going to answer 7 questions, and we're going to do it kind of in rapid, semi-automatic style fashion here. So let me, you don't have to write these down because they'll come back up on the board, but let me, just before I have a word of prayer, give you the 7 questions. We're going to answer, what is a spiritual gift? Does every believer have a spiritual gift? When are the spiritual gifts given? How many spiritual gifts are there? Is it possible to have a spiritual gift for years and not know what it is nor how to use it? How should I determine what my spiritual gifts are? So we'll, by way of introduction for the series, look at those questions this morning. Let me have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask God to give us a moment of time right here where we can each just kind of sober up. Hopefully nobody here is like physically drunk. So when he says sober up, that means get serious and look at this topic here this morning. Father, thank you. Lord, when I rattled off the fact that the building is going up, babies are being born, the nursery is being filled, the kids that are in children's church right now will be in Kids for Truth a couple of Sunday nights from now. Almost 100 maybe. The growth groups will start up and adults will be dropping kids off and going to their groups, and they'll be praying and fellowshipping and studying the Word of God. And there's going to be adult Bible studies with adults, 60, 70 adults going deeper in the Word. We have older believers who love you. We have a new young adults ministry starting up. Lord, we have so much ahead of us. And Lord, I pray that in my role in the church, that, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't shrink back from the responsibility of the gospel. I pray that we would move forward, we would make progress for the gospel in this community, that we'd go deep in the word, and that we would go outward with the gospel. And Lord, I pray that each and every person who would call Lakeside home for this moment and through this series and really the rest of their life would take seriously what their role is in your body called the body of Christ. Lord, it's very humbling to think that I, as I go about the community in my day and my week and my months and my year, that I'm representing you, that I'm a part of a body of which the world will come to know you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our collective lives. Lord, no doubt that you have blessed us so much that we have more ministry here at Lakeside than we have people. And so, Lord, I pray that you would convict those who are just kind of sitting and soaking. I pray that you would encourage those who have their sleeves rolled up and both feet down and they're working to exhaustion. I pray you would build them up. And Lord, I pray that we'd all have a balanced service ethic as we come through the study of this great topic, the body of Christ. In Christ's precious name, amen. First question, what is, and these are, you know, if you've been around Christianity, you're going to say, well, these are pretty foundational, nothing new here, but the fact of the matter is, I think God has something for every one of us here. So what is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? And it talks about in verse 6 of Romans chapter 12 and many other places that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. The word for gifts is the word charisma, or where we get the word charismatic. It's really the word for grace throughout Scripture. But when it's used in this fashion, it originally meant a favor which one receives without merit of his own. So in the common culture of the day, take religion out of it, the charisma would be a favor that somebody has granted you of which you had no merit. And in most cases, it's a grace that's granted you even though you deserve the exact opposite. So it's not even a neutral favor, really. It's a favor to somebody undeserving. As it's used in the New Testament, as it develops through the New Testament, here's just kind of a man-made definition. It's a God-given ability. If everybody could get this down. It's a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. It's a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. It's, looking at the definition, it's God-given. You receive it, you don't earn it. Your looks didn't cause God to give it to you, and your money didn't buy it. God, in His sovereignty and His wisdom and His discernment, gifted it to you. Whatever that makeup, that giftedness that you have. It's God-given. You received it, you didn't earn it. It's an ability. First Peter talks about with the ability that God has given you. It qualifies you to do something you wouldn't otherwise be able to do in the body of Christ. It's not natural ability. It's supernatural ability. As I think about individuals' lives and their giftedness and my own life and my wife's life and our kids' life, I can see God working on an individual long before He ever brings them to Himself. But at the moment of salvation, then those abilities, those are given a supernatural character to them to serve the body of Christ. It's gifts are for believers. Believers only. When you study the scriptures, as we will over the next 8 weeks, when God gives gifts, he gives them to believers. That's why it's so important that if we're going to have somebody, say, teach at Lakeside Fellowship, whether it's the children's church that's meeting here, or it's the Kids for Truth that'll meet on Sunday night, or it's the young adults, or it's the youth, or it's the old adults, or it's Bible study for, we need to have some evidence that they are genuine believers, that the Christ Spirit dwells in them. So it's a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. So much will be said over the next 7 weeks about the fact that you're given some kind of giftedness by the Spirit of God, not for you, not for your benefit. If there is a gift of pastoring, I do not have that gift so Dave can pastor a bigger church and write better books and, you know, whatever, make a name for myself. Every gift is given for the benefit of the body, not for an individual benefit. So when we get to, and I'll just take the most obvious one, when we get to the, it was listed here in Romans 12, to the gift of generosity or the gift of giving. If you are a believer and God has blessed you financially, it's not for you that you're blessed financially. It's for the body of Christ. So what you are, who you are, and how you serve is for the benefit of another. And so you can know you're off base when you're asking, what's in it for me? Now, I understand because Deb and I have, this is probably a negative word, church shopped. When we went to Bible College of Pennsylvania, it was the first time for me, it was a traumatic experience. We had to pick a church that we were going to be in for 3 years. Very difficult. We went from church to church. And there is a mindset about what does that church have to offer, but the better mindset is, what do I have to offer that church? I'd recommend if you're looking for a church, go to the pastor and say, what is missing in the body? Here's where I think I can serve. Is there a need for someone like me? Is there an opportunity to serve? So what is a spiritual gift? It's a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. Number two, does every believer have a spiritual gift? And you can clearly write in bold letters in a black marker, yes. The truth is, you probably have more than one, but Scripture is very clear you have at least one. I think I put a couple of scriptures up here, and we could go to a number of them, but look at 1 Peter 4:10, as each one receives a gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:7, but grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. If you're a genuine Christian, you have a spiritual gift. There is a plan and a purpose and a place for you in the body of Christ. If you're a genuine believer and you're not serving in the body of Christ, then that body, to some degree, is limping along because of you. I did a little study late last night. I don't know if this was spirit-led or not, but somehow I was like, well, I'll study the big toe out. I mean, what's the purpose of the big toe in the body? And I think everybody I know here has a big toe, but apparently if you don't have a big toe, try walking someday. It doesn't go very well. And so I won't bore you with the details of how your big toe serves you in the body. Every believer, genuine, valid, born-again believer has a spiritual gift. You probably have a mixture of gifts with a couple of gifts that are dominant. For instance, we studied in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6, Philip. Philip was chosen in Acts 6 as a deacon, so he had the gift of serving. In Acts chapter 8, he's the only one in Scripture who says he has the gift of evangelism. So there's a couple of gifts that were prominent. When you think of Barnabas, he's the son of encouragement. He had the gift of encouragement. So does every believer have a spiritual gift? Yes. When are spiritual gifts given? Scripture gives us no direct answer. It doesn't actually say the moment you were born again, you were given a spiritual gift. But if you take the passage of Scripture together, your spiritual DNA was developed the day, the moment, the exact time that you surrendered your life to Christ. Your DNA, your spiritual DNA changed. So when you're born, you have a physical DNA, and you're going to, you know, you're not going to decide unless you juice it up yourself whether you're a redhead or you're going to be a blondie, or, you know, if you're going to be tall, you're going to be short, whatever you're going to be, that's your DNA. And so it is in the body of Christ. I believe you're given at that very moment a different spiritual DNA. Number four, why are spiritual gifts given? And if you could remember anything this morning, zero in with me right here. We won't spend any more time than on the other questions, but it will come up time and time again. Why did God, why did Jesus give spiritual gifts to men, women, young adults, even children who know Christ as Lord and Savior? 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He didn't give you the gift for your good, although you will be filled with joy and peace when you're serving according to your giftedness. But the gift was given to you for the benefit of others. 1 Peter 4:7, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. To serve one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, which I didn't put up here, talks about the goal of the body of Christ is to see every man, woman, and child who claims Christ to come to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So they're not given to glorify you, but to serve others. How many gifts are there? How many gifts are there? Well, just jot this down if you're taking notes. And again, we'll touch on these passages. But there are four main passages that talk about the body of Christ and giftedness. Four main passages. Romans 12, which we're looking at a little bit this morning. We'll go deeper as the weeks go on. 1 Corinthians 12, which was written about a year before Romans 12. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. At the end today, when we take out the gold cards, one of the challenges will be for you to spend time reading those four passages and meditating on them and asking God to show you where is your place in the body of Christ, and specifically, if you call Lakeside home, where is your place at Lakeside Fellowship? Now, it's a debate about whether the list in those four passages include all of the gifts that God gives to individuals. I do not personally think it does. But for our study over these 8 weeks, we'll stick to the ones that are listed in the lists. Let me give you kind of a general list, not including all of them. Here are some of the gifts. I think they'll go up there on the screen. Mercy. An exceptional supernatural mercy. A love for somebody that is hurting or in need. Giving. You may have always been great at making money. When you come to know Christ, if you have the gift of giving or generosity, you become great at giving the money for the cause of Christ. Not just randomly and haphazardly, but for the cause of Christ. You could have the gift of helps or serving. Leadership is a gift that is needed. Discernment, wisdom, knowledge. Know what God's word says and how God thinks on given subjects and principles. Evangelism is a gift. Teaching is a gift. Pastoring is a gift. Exhortation is a gift. Prophecy we'll look at, and what does that mean? Administration is a gift. Hospitality is a gift. So how many gifts are there? I'm going to say you could take just that list and you could have a mixture. And there are probably numbers of other gifts as we go along. Next question, is it possible to have a spiritual gift for years and not know it? So you might be saying, well, I've been a follower of Christ for 12 years, and I really have never figured out my purpose in the body. I've never really given much attention to how God has given me a spiritual DNA. Is it possible to have a spiritual gift for years and not know it? And the answer is yes, it is possible. It's not good, but it's possible. And if you're one of those this morning, then God wants to end that possibility today and through the next 7 or 8 weeks. Here's how I know it's possible. Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, and he said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. So maybe Timothy knew what his gift was, and he just wasn't really using it. He was kind of lethargic with it. He said in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that you have. So in other words, you're not even using it. There's a part of me that would like to say, if you don't feel like you have any purpose in the body of Christ, you should examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Are you a part of the body? Because the spiritual DNA gives you supernatural ability to serve the body. It's a working inside you. It's the Spirit of Christ stirring you to serve. And number seven, and very practically, and there's a number of things here, so I'll send them out by an email. How should I determine what my spiritual gift or gifts are? Well, I just kind of was reading the scriptures and meditating on the scriptures and thinking of my own life and thinking about my experience as a pastor and being a part of leadership in a church. And so let me just give you just kind of a short little list. And I can guarantee you, if you become sober in your judgment and you actively think through this list of how you determine what your spiritual gift is, God will, I guarantee you, bless you. So let's just start. How should I determine what my spiritual gift is? Number one, start with an attitude of humility. Start with an attitude of humility. That's where you start. You start on your knees before a holy God. And it would be okay to say, in and of myself, I'm not deserving of your beautiful gifts. The gift of your son and the gift of abilities, the gift of being a part of the body of Christ, the gift of representing you to being a part of a local church. Start with humility, because that's where Scripture always starts when it talks about the gifts. Now just look back at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For by the grace, before he ever talks about the gifts, he said, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. If you went to Ephesians 4, the second passage on gifts, he's going to talk about the need to come at it with meekness and humility. 1 Peter 4 talks about gifts and the body of Christ. And then 1 Peter 5 says, therefore, humble yourself. 1 Corinthians 12 is followed by 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about the need to really to lessen yourself and to honor others and to let love reign supreme. I was thinking, if there's this list of gifts and abilities, and he was going to pick out a pastor of a church and he were to give the qualifications, certainly God would then in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus, where he gives the qualifications for a pastor, he would list out the giftedness. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, look for men with these gifts. What he does, he said, look for men with these characteristics, these qualities. And so start with an attitude of humility. Romans 12 would say, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. When you're on your knees saying, Lord, I really want to know what my purpose in life is. In church, before you, if you start with humility and you're down on your knees or you just bow your heart and you say, as Paul said to do in Romans chapter 12, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, you say, Lord, here I am. Everything that I have, you've given to me. And so, Lord, I lay everything I have, all my talents and time and treasure, I lay it on the altar for you to use. It's yours. Do you think the Heavenly Father, if he came across an individual believer who started with humility and laid it all out before God, isn't going to say, there is somebody that I am going to use greatly in the body of Christ? So attitude of humility, present yourselves a living sacrifice, read your Bible and meditate. God speaks to us through his word. His word is truth. Take those four passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and meditate on them. Spend time reading them and thinking about them and corresponding with God about them. Talk to your friends about them. Talk to your wife or your husband about them. And it goes right along with it while you're doing that. The next one is pray for God to illuminate your mind. I mean, really, I've got five kids, four boys and a daughter. If they individually came to me and said, Dad, you and Mom probably know us as well as you know anybody. And, you know, I want to serve at that church called Lakeside Fellowship. And Mom and Dad, they have so many ministry opportunities and such grand things God is doing. And I just want to serve and I want to serve right. There's so many needs out there. Where Mom and Dad, where would you say that I would best fit? What do you see in me that could best be used? How much more if we go to the Father? Pray for God to illuminate. Next, wholeheartedly serve in and through your church. Okay, now I want you to put an asterisk beside this. I want you to remember this. If I come up and say in that list, what did Pastor say was one of the most important things? Here, for my own individual life, thinking back to surrendering 34 years ago to Christ and then coming, you know, just serving in almost every area you could serve in a church. I've cleaned toilets in a church. Serving in almost every area, doing almost everything at one time or another, the way that God actually narrowed in and focused and helped me to see and illuminated me was because I was serving in many different areas with the idea, Lord, show me. So if you're saying, and many of you, if you're honest, you're, well, I don't really know what my spiritual gift is. Well, start just by serving. Start by serving. And God will direct a servant's heart. Pastor Joe Hayes told me about a month after I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and Deb was my soon-to-be girlfriend right after that, and she was teaching junior high girls at Sailorville. He came up to me and said, I see in very short order, I'd like to see you teaching the junior boys. And I said, whoa, 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 I don't know anything about the Bible. And I went to catechism and, you know, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, but we never really cracked the Bible. I can't do that, wouldn't do that. He said, Dave, God can turn a moving wheel much easier than he can one standing still. Start serving, we'll sort it out. So wholeheartedly serve in and through your church. The last two, look for the blessing of God. Where's God blessing? Is there joy in what you're doing? Is there a need being filled in the church? You see, if you put, is there joy in what I'm doing ahead of, am I filling a need in the church? Then you're thinking of yourself more than you're thinking of the other. Now, I'm not saying that God, if when you're serving in your giftedness, there's not a joy in it. There is. But is it producing joy? Is it producing help? Is it producing ministry in another person's life? And then lastly, seek confirmation from other spiritual believers. Ask them. I mean, get prayed up before you go and ask them, you know, your husband and wife, that'd be the great way to start. What do you see in my life? Let's, honey, start like this. Honey, let's start with the positive things tonight. What do you see? I'm revved up. I'm ready to go. I want to serve. And like Pastor and Nathan, all these, they're saying, I got this need and this need and this need and this need. And I'm going. I mean, just aim me in the right direction. Seek confirmation from other spiritual believers. And if it happens at Lakeside and somebody comes to you and they say, what do you see in my life? You better be honest with them. You better be honest with them. Some of the greatest advice that I've ever gotten is where are things that I probably am not gifted at. Dave, you probably, that's not your area. So how should I determine what my spiritual gifts are? With an attitude of humility. Now I close with this thought, and this is really introduction today. Not surprisingly, or we shouldn't be surprised, all of the gifts that are listed find their fullest and most beautiful expression in Christ. So we're called to be the walking physical body of Christ. He's in heaven. His Spirit resides within us. We're as though He were walking here today. And so it's very appropriate to study Christ and how did He live His life. When it comes to the gift of teaching, no one ever spoke like that man with such authority in his words. When it comes to the gift of mercy, with what you know about Jesus, is there anybody that had the greater gift of mercy than Jesus? What's the answer to that? No way. How about faith? Did anybody trust the Father more than he trusted the Father? How about discernment? He said in John chapter 2, these people were all kind of getting excited about him. And he said he didn't believe in them because he knew what was in them. How about shepherding? Was there ever a greater shepherd? How about helping? Was there ever a person that ever walked in his short life that helped more people? How about, and I end with this, giving. Is there anybody that's ever walked this earth that had the greater gift of giving than Jesus himself? You can say no to that. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ said in Romans chapter 5, he gave himself. You want to know what a gift looks like when you start sorting them out? You look to Jesus. And that's where we should be looking this morning.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.